and let us pray. There's some cheers here, friends. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks. We thank you for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. And truly, as we think this morning, there is a cost to discipleship. And this simple cost for us was to leave of the comfort of our sanctuary and to come outside. What a simple cost for us. Thanks be to God that we came forth and we trust you. And so, Lord God, we pray that as you look down from heaven this day, you'll see our humble efforts of seeking to worship you, of seeking to have others know about Jesus Christ. Holy God, bless this simple offering that we're giving up to you, Lord God, that we have come to another place to do this thing. Bless our church, Holy God, we pray this day. And as I stand here before you, take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your will, and let me stand behind the cross of Jesus Christ. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Certainly, my sermon title today is A Road Trip with Jesus. A Road Trip with Jesus. I thought about it last night and I could have said on a road trip with Jesus, like on a road trip with Jesus. So we are on a road trip with Jesus. That's what it's all about for all of us. You know, what is a road trip? You know, a road trip sometimes is it can be in a car, can be in a bus, but it's a long trip, isn't it? A road trip is something that could be memorable and it could be unhappy. We have all been on road trips, haven't we? Sometimes there's a lot of fun and sometimes there's a lot of arguments. There are ups and downs. There are things that happen that we don't expect on this road trip. And a road trip with Jesus is no different. The key here is that sometimes what we have to give up or not give up could be what? Harder than we think. A road trip can be boring at times. Some people think following Jesus is boring, don't they? Because it can be boring, and sometimes it can be exciting, sometimes it can be painful, sometimes it can be on this trip, you have to, a pastor asks you to come outside and sit under a tent. I'm sure this will go down in the annals of this church. I keep saying, when you write the book and you go through your pastors, I'm going to probably have most of the things that, what did she make us do again, will come from me. But thanks be to God, you will remember. So we give God thanks and praise for that. So I want to begin by saying to you here, I want to read this reflection for you and let you and give you a feeling of the things that could happen to us on a road trip when we're following Jesus. When Jesus talk about cost comes in different forms and different amounts, the cost of discipleship. Sometimes the cost can be what? Huge. And sometimes the cost is small. For example, I told you earlier today about the gentleman who's a pastor, was called to serve Jesus, second career pastor, and now he went to Korea to see that ministry and to learn, and now because for him he got sick on the plane and is very ill in the hospital in Korea, one of our colleagues. We're praying. Name is John Blossom. Please keep him in your prayer. The cost come different ways. We get sickness, we get different things come. Cost to serving Jesus. So here is this reflection that I read. And it says, church greeter changes the life of a homeless man. You know what? I'm smiling to myself. I like this setup because I could see everybody. Because sometimes when you all sit where the back, I can barely see people. We are going to have to rope off that back because I could see everybody. Paul and I talked about that before. Long time ago, we could see people. We feel like we're in a wonderful place with each other, right? And so here's what it says. This writer, it says, Pastor Jude Willight shares the story of a church member named Cody Huff. Before Cody became a member at Central Christian Church in Las Vegas, He was sleeping in an open field next to the church. But at one time, Cody was making loads of money as a famous Bass Pro fisherman who had even been featured on ESPN. Yet, he couldn't overcome his problems with drugs. He began a crack addiction that led him to smoke up to $600,000 worth of savings, his house, his Harley, his new boat. He smoked away everything he had and ended up homeless. A man who had eaten at fine restaurants and interacted with celebrities had bottomed out and was now homeless. But God would turn his life around, and it all started with the kindness of a church volunteer. Friends, there are times God will ask us to do something. It's a cost to us. This was a simple cost, but you'll hear the story. Some people came from the church's homeless ministry, were handing out sandwiches in the park where Cody slept, and they told him that he could get a shower at Central Christian Church. The last place Cody wanted to go was a church, but he hadn't bathed in a long, but he hadn't bathed so long that even other homeless men couldn't stand his smell anymore. Cody explained what happened next. I walked into the church, and this lady named Michelle, who knew me from the homeless ministry, said, "Good morning, Cody, how are you?" Then she looked at me and says, "Cody, you need a hug." And I said, "Honey, you don't want to touch me because I haven't had a shower in 3 months." If Michelle heard me, she didn't seem to care. She walked up and she looked in my eyes and gave me a big hug and told me that Jesus loved me. In that split second, I was somebody. She even remembered my name. That was a moment where I knew that God was alive in this world. Over the next several weeks, Cody's life began to be restored. He gave his life to Christ. He started leading a Bible study in the park for other homeless people. That was over 3 years ago, Jude says. Now he's married, and he and his wife serve faithfully in our homeless ministry every weekend. He has his own business. From ashes, God has raised him up to use him as an instrument. But his involvement in ministry all started with the warm embrace from one of the church's greeters. A religion that gives nothing, costs nothing, and suffers nothing is worth nothing, says Martin Luther. If we have a religion that costs us nothing, that gives nothing, and suffers nothing, is worth nothing. And the cost for that woman that day was to hug a homeless man who had not had a bath in 3 months, and it transformed his life. Sometimes the cost the Lord is asking us for may not be to go on a plane overseas to Africa or to South America or even to the Appalachia, but right here where we are. Last week's story from Luke was set inside the home of a Pharisee. Jesus was really talking to a Pharisee last week. But this week, the story, the narrative changes, and Jesus is on the road now. He's on a road trip, and he's very public, and crowds are following him. Many crowds are following him, and so he shifts the topic. He shifts the topic. As the throng of folks come following Jesus, he focuses on discipleship. The change in his tone and location in this latter part of Luke 14 is striking. But then we must recall that Jesus, by the time we get to Luke 14, Jesus is not just traveling any old journey. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Do we know what's going to happen in Jerusalem? He's going to be crucified. We're in Luke 14. He's going to Jerusalem, and he's heading toward the cross. since Luke 9:51, he's been talking about the cross. Perhaps this is why the time is ripe to help the people around him understand what it means to follow him. He wanted them to get it. I would like to submit to you today that in this Luke text, Jesus was first speaking about himself and then laying it clearly out for us. Because when Jesus says, as the scripture says, "Now large crowds were traveling with him, and he turned and said to them, 'Whoever comes to me and does not hate mother, father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple.'" That text has been disputed and argued about many times, because Jesus is a man of love. Jesus always speaks of love and peace. And so why was he using the heavy word to hate? Did it mean that you're hating the person individually? I'll give you some background. In the first century Jewish families were central to their community, very central. So the implications of and the challenge of Jesus' word was real. You see, the family in those times, Jewish family, had a stronghold on each individual of that family. You would never dare want to leave your family to follow a person, to follow now this upstart rabbi called Jesus, because the family dynamic was so important, and you were expected to go into the family business. And oftentimes many of the Jewish family would be on the backs of their children. How could you follow this man? Remember when Peter would leave everything to follow Jesus? It is said that many said, "Why did you leave all your belongings and follow Jesus?" So in that context, we understand why Jesus said, "You must hate." What he's saying is, you may have to go against your family's wishes to follow me. Right? Your family may not agree. Friends may not agree. You may have to go against your family's wishes to follow me. Following Christ is not always easy for many people. You see, this explains where most of the disciples were unmarried. Do you know that many of them were unmarried? Though Peter is one exception. And most of the women who approached Jesus were also single. Because the building the early church would take so much a toll on them, right, that they remained single or they were unmarried to follow Jesus. And their families would not have cared about that. Their families would have wanted them to be married. So Jesus is laying it out for us that taking him, following him, is not the easiest thing. But I'd like to also submit that Jesus was speaking about himself. Because you remember, Jesus never got married, never had children. Jesus had to leave his mother and father, Mary and Joseph, and the very cross. When he was on the cross, right, he handed over his mother to John. Jesus himself was saying, "I have to go do this thing, and it's going to cost me something. It is costing me family. It is costing me everyday living. It is costing me friendships in some many cases. It is costing me, it will cost me my very life." And then he's trying to let them understand that following Christ is not always that easy. Sickness comes, ups and downs comes. We leave jobs, we get turned away from jobs. We cannot talk about Jesus, because following Christ is not the easiest thing to do. And so Jesus wanted to demonstrate to them here that there is a cost to discipleship. The great German theologian Bonhoeffer would know that cost. He would go back to Germany and die in a German prison for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was murdered in a prison for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Theologian who went to school here, went to the school I attended. It has many folks who have suffered for the gospel of Jesus Christ so that we can have it. And we are asked to pay a price also. And our cost may not be much. Our cost may be just to be able to try something new. Our cost sometimes may not cost a lot of money. Our cost. And so sometimes we need to weigh the cost. Jesus says, whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. He says, whoever, that's the songwriter got it well. He says, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for me and there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. Do you know, friends, there's a cross for all of us here. Sometimes we don't take the cross up and follow Jesus. Some of us won't take it up. Some of us put it down. Right? And we don't follow Jesus because we have all the other things that we put before Jesus. But Jesus is reminding us today, there is a cross for each and every one of us. I just want to remind you today that something about the disciples who followed Jesus. Do you know Andrew died on a cross? Simon Peter was crucified. Bartholomew was flayed alive. James, son of Zebedee, was beheaded. The other James, son of Alphaeus, was beaten to death. Thomas was run over with a lance. Matthias, who was stoned and then beheaded. Matthew was slain by sword. Peter was crucified upside down. Thaddeus was shot to death with arrows, and Philip was hanged. And then we know what happened to Apostle Paul. All of them that went before to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, bear the cross. Bear the cross alone. Bear the cross for him. I was thinking today, I have an aunt, a dear aunt, who a beloved aunt, she's 88, and always very involved in the church. And began to develop early Alzheimer's, just a little bit of dementia. I was told in early Alzheimer's. I really didn't pick up on it because she seemed to be a little bit forgetful. And she had lived in England for years and had her children all born in England. And then she came here, she and her husband, she's been married for zillions of years. And they bought a house in New York and lived here. And then they built a house in Jamaica and they traveled back and forth. A lot of Jamaicans do that. It's their desire. Except me, you know, I want to stay here. But anyway, they back and forth. Well, I found out from her daughter, she has two daughters who are nurses, and I hadn't seen her for a little while because she had been in the Caribbean, that she had been losing circulation in her leg, and I think because of a little bit of dementia, she probably didn't realize it as well, and the leg got so numb all the way up, and they admitted her to Presbyterian Hospital. And last week she was amputated above the knee. Must Jesus bear the cross alone? We are a Christian family. We are truly a Christian family. And praying family. And so we trust God. I spoke with our daughter. I'm going out to see her next week. And she's 85. And I said that should happen to Aunt Nina. I've been thinking about it all week. That she would lose her leg. And then I says, Lord, why not us? It happens to other people. The cross of Christ happens to all of us. Do we stop praying to Jesus? No, we continue to serve him because he bear the greatest cross for us, Christian believers. And you all have your own stories, I'm sure. Things in people in your family that you know who have served the Lord for a long time and you have served themselves, and then you start going through difficulty and you cannot understand why you're going through these difficulties. Why is it happening to you? I've been a good Christian, but there is a cross to bear. Because ultimately, we get relief from this cross when we get to heaven. That's the end of our journey. You see, Jesus demands that we follow him even in extreme circumstances. Christianity is not a Sunday morning religion alone. It is a hungering after God to the point of death if need be. It shakes our foundation, topples our priorities, pits us against friend and family, and make us strangers in the world. Christianity. When we're being true followers of Jesus Christ, we need to push the envelope. We need to stand up for him. Every now and then we have to say no to families and friends for the work of Jesus Christ. No, I'm going to church. No, I'm going to do this. Why? Because Christ died for us. And Jeremiah tells us that he watched there when the Lord sent him, as he was molding and making and molding the clay in the potter's hand. Friends, we are clay in God's hands. And God sometimes put us through things so that we could come out refined like a clay in the potter's hand. So, as we go through life, when we have life's ups and downs and trials, remember, the good news is, even with my own story, the good news is, the Lord is with us.
Amen.
After we had our first little cry and we got it, the Lord is with us. And so together it is making many of us who haven't talked to our daughter in so long, we are all on the phone talking to each other. It is just bringing us together. The Lord is with us. And we will go through this together as a family, because Jesus promises never to leave us. And so that's why we could be at the cross. And as I close, as we remember that the Lord is with us. And if I did not know Jesus, if I did not know the Lord is with me, I wouldn't be able to tell you that. But I've experienced him personally. I've called on him and he has answered. And I've taken up my cross and followed him. And sometimes I didn't take up my cross and followed him. Sometimes I find reason. Sometimes I reasoned with him. But scripture tells us, come and reason with me. He says, though your sin may as be red as scarlet, right? I'll make them as white as snow. So there are times I've reasoned with him, yet still he always wins out. So I continue to take up my cross and follow him. So here's a woman. We, each and every one of us, people must see the God in us, the light of Christ in us. And this little reflection I'm going to end with, it says, are you God's wife? It is titled. It says, a little boy, about 10 years old, was standing before a shoe store on the roadway barefooted, peering through the window and shivering with cold. A lady approached the boy and said, my little fellow, why are you looking so earnestly in that window? I was asking God to give me a pair of shoes, was the boy's reply. The lady took him by hand and went into the store and asked the clerk to get half a dozen pair of socks for the boy. She then asked if he could give her a basin of water and a towel. He quickly brought them to her. She took the little boy to the back part of the store and, removing her gloves, knelt down, washed his little feet and dried them with a towel. By this time, the clerk returned with the socks. Placing a pair upon the boy's feet, she purchased him a pair of shoes. She tied up the remaining pairs of socks and gave them to him. She patted him on the head and said, no doubt, my little fellow, you feel more comfortable now. As she turned to go, the astonished lad caught her by the hand and, looking up in her face, said, are you God's wife? You see, we can be God's wife for somebody, or God's wife, or God's servant. Right? The cross, sometimes the Lord asks us to be is as simple as that. It's as simple as seeing someone in need. It's as simple as seeing someone needing to be touched, to be spoken to hear that God loves you. And we sometimes turn our backs on them. Sometimes we pass them on the street. That may be the cross for us, our only cross here in Hicksville and in this church. Maybe just to what? To turn a hand. Horrible going mission trips and horrible places. But we can step out of our comfort zone and find someone to tell the gospel message about. That may be the cross. And then there are other cross that are so amazed, that's so hard for us to bear. But we know that we serve the great burden bearer. His name is Jesus. We serve him. He knows how to carry a cross, doesn't he? And he carried it victoriously until the end. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He knows how to carry a cross. So when we are carrying our cross, he's carrying it with us. Thanks be to God for a cross-carrying Savior that we have. So friends, today, on this road trip with Jesus, as we travel on this road trip, remember, there are going to be ups and downs. There are going to be times that we weep. There will be times that we mourn, that time that we call out to Jesus and says, God, why? There will be other times that we say, thank you, Jesus. Have you ever called out to him in the midnight hour and hear him just say, it's okay, because you feel it in your spirit. It's going to be well. You don't know how you get up off your knees. You don't know how. But you know that it's going to be well. Because somehow in your spirit, you feel it that God has heard. And Jesus will answer. Thanks be to God for his faithfulness to us. Amen.